It is our joy to present to you a conference from the third series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and is well known as an author, lecturer, and retreat master. In this series of conferences, Father treats of many topics of present-day interest to any Catholic and to anyone. They will prove to be of assistance to anyone sincerely trying to live a Christian life in today's world, whether he be layman, religious, or priest. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Satanism, the Catholic Approach. Father Hardin.
I would entitle this subject, Satanism, a Catholic Appraisal. Until a few years ago, we seldom spoke about Satanism, in fact, even about Satan, and would hardly know what Satanism is all about. But things have drastically changed. There are numerous books, professional and popular, published on the subject of Satan and Satanism. Among the several books that I have in my stock is a very popular book called The Satanic Bible. There are other books published, especially by Christians, more frequently by Protestants, again, bestsellers, warning about Satan and his influence in the world. The best-selling novel, The Exorcist, has, I believe, sold more than 1 million copies, and the movie by that name, based on the book, is setting an all-time, absolutely all-time box office record. I've seen people standing literally for half a block to get into the movie houses that are featuring The Exorcist. There is a growing number of satanic organizations throughout the country. National, like the American Satanic Brotherhood, and local, churches of Satan are being organized and legally recognized. Clearly, some evaluation is called for, naturally, in the light of our Catholic faith. For the sake of convenience, I will distinguish the three main forms of Satanism known to past and present history about which the Catholic Church has some very definite ideas and counsel to offer. These three historic forms of Satanism, though they can be given different names, I would identify as philosophical Satanism, polytheistic Satanism, and cultic Satanism. While they overlap, that is, no one of these is completely distinct and independent of the other, nevertheless, each has a long history behind it and can be described separately. Philosophical Satanism is really another name from a different angle for what I think we are more familiar with as Manichaeism. The term Manichaeism is derived from its founder, Manes. He was a Near Eastern Oriental who had been a Zoroastrian, a follower of Zoroaster, became a Christian, more or less, never fully converted, and before he died, shook the foundations of Christianity by introducing the theory of two gods, a good God, who is the creator and source of all the good things in the world, and a bad God, who is the creator and source of all the bad things in the world. In general, the good God is the creator of things spiritual. The bad God is the creator of all things material. Matter, therefore, is evil. And while there were many levels and forms of Manichaeism, in general, theoretically, the idea was to gradually emancipate oneself from the body in order that the evil God, not spirit merely, but evil God, might not have master over one. However, each person's final destiny, as indeed the destiny of the world, depends on which God will finally prevail. If the good God prevails in me, well, clearly I will be a good person and will be happy after death. If the evil God prevails, well, I will be unhappy. And it finally depends not on man's free will. Manichaeism denies human freedom. There is a cosmic struggle going on between these two forces in the world, and it's all a question of which one will prevail. The name, just for the record, of the good God was Ahura Mazda. The name of the evil God, ultimately one, the creator of all things evil, was Ahriman. And just to take this philosophical Satanism seriously, we should recall that St. Augustine was a Manichaean for 9 years. So that many of our profoundest writings among the fathers are the anti-Manichaean writings of Augustine after his conversion. What then is Satanism on Manichaean principles? It is the recognition, or better, the claim, that there is not one, but there are two ultimate principles, that's P-L-E-S, in the universe. They are utterly distinct, and the evil principle is not subordinate to the good principle. The evil principle is not created. He, if you wish, or it, if you prefer, is uncreated. And it offers, as you can gather immediately, a remarkably facile solution for the existence of good, but especially of evil, in the universe. It absolves God, that is the one true God in whom we believe, of having anything to do with evil. Clearly, the whole idea of God, that is, the one true God, permitting evil, is denied by Manichaeism. The Manichaean tendency has been in the church ever since. Its principal outcropping in modern times was in John Calvin, one of the co-founders of Protestantism. According to him, now he did not use Manichaean vocabulary, but he did profess Manichaean ideas. He claimed that God, from all eternity, foreordained some people for heaven, other people for hell, irrespective of their use of their freedom, which he denied. Well, clearly, this is only a latter-day and camouflaged Manichaeism. No single God could possibly, irrespective of human freedom, condemn those whom he so decided to condemn to an eternity of hell. Calvinism is really a resurgent Manichaeism. He really postulated two gods, a good one who saves and an evil one who condemns. That's philosophical Satanism, polytheistic Satanism. As you know, most of the human race is polytheistic, not believing, at least not clearly believing, in one God, but believing in a plurality. Hence, polytheists, many gods. While they will generally have some one chief deity, whom they consider the outstanding, they will have many deities with varying names. In India, there are three principal deities, but no one has counted. One estimate is there are 10,000 deities among the Hindus. Among these deities, they can be graduated or stratified from the very, very benevolent to the very, very malevolent. Some, in other words, are good and some are evil. Polytheistic worship, which loosely we might call pagan worship, though I never use the word, you see, I teach these religions. Better, I teach about them, and I do not use the word paganism, which is a misnomer. But those deities, and they are given genders, men or women, that is masculine or feminine gender deities, the benevolent ones are to be invoked in order to obtain such favors as, presumably because they are benevolent, they will confer on condition they are invoked. The malevolent, you don't invoke, you propitiate. Just as the benevolent deities will not do you favor unless you ask them, the malevolent ones will do you harm unless you propitiate them. So in Buddhism, Hinduism, Shinto, and the various forms of polytheistic religion, the good deities are invoked, but for our purpose, the evil deities, who in our language would be demons, and in fact there are passages which I think you sometimes recite in your psalms, that all the gods of the Gentiles are demons. depending on the translation. For these would be the evil deities, evil by presupposition, that they will surely harm unless they are propitiated. These evil deities demand propitiation not only verbally, but ritually, and often with great sacrifice, including human sacrifice. While human sacrifice to these evil deities in the major polytheistic religions, like say Hinduism or Buddhism, has been reduced to a minimum, mainly to the governments that have entered the picture and forbidden such sacrifices by law, they are nevertheless practiced. They are most certainly practiced among the so-called primitive or tribal peoples who are polytheistic. And among my students, especially in Canada, where I have been teaching for the last 7 winter terms, mainly about these various religious systems outside of Christianity, this is my specialty. I have students, priests, for example, from Africa, who will tell me how extremely difficult it is to make converts to Christianity from certain tribal peoples, because they are so dreadfully afraid, after having been converted to Christianity, that they will be harmed by these evil deities, since they have stopped propitiating them. And often they relapse into their paganism again, out of fear, because then they will say that some evil which befell them came to them because they had become Christians and had ceased to invoke, better propitiate, the evil gods. I just read in the Cincinnati Inquirer, which your chaplain brought me yesterday, that in Africa, a baby was born with 4 eyes and 3 ears. It died shortly after birth, but has been embalmed and is being put on medical display, that is, for scientific study. Well, whatever took place in the womb of the mother, whether it's a kind of a Siamese twin situation, which didn't fully materialize into 2 human beings joined together, as you know, or whatever the reason, medically speaking or physiologically, immediately after the birth took place, and of course was announced throughout the country, I think it was in Nairobi, word went out from the government that this was not due to the lack of propitiation of certain native evil deities, so that the people might not be afraid, that is, either pregnant women or mothers in general, might not be afraid that maybe, for lack of having done enough sacrifice or ritual in favor of these evil deities, that now their children are going to be born monstrosities.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.